On the show today, we have Asa's very own Landon Glenn talking about why the collaborative banking model is a better path forward than, yes, open banking or even banking as a service. Yes, Landon explains it all here, and so I hope you check it out. Welcome back to our show, and on today's program, we have Landon Glenn from Asa. Landon, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Glad to be here.
Good to see you again. You are fresh off the plane from Finovate last week. So give us a quick update on how that went for you guys.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. So we have a new employee that joined the team, Lisa Goldshire, and she was handling a few of the panels and discussions there. So we had the opportunity to share a little bit about Asa on the big stage without actually demoing. So it's a little bit less nerve-wracking, right?
Well played, my friend. Well played. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about something else pretty cool we're talking about today. And that's why the collaborative banking model is a better path forward than open banking or banking as a service. Oh my gosh, I saw this headline and I nearly fell out of my chair. Went, what? Somebody's talking against open banking? Not that it's a bad thing, but it's like, this is better than open banking. So I'm going to cut to the chase right now. So why is this model better than open banking or banking as a service?
Yeah, great question, Mike. And you know, with open banking, it tends to create an opportunity where you've got, you know, companies that want to get the data that for an end user account and then use that data for an application or a service, but then they end up selling banking products that compete with the bank that you're at.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's say you're at a credit union and you've got your membership and you've got your loans and your accounts and everything else, but you're using mint.com.
Yeah.
Well, mint.com is going to have advertisements for a bunch of people that you don't use right now. Mm-hmm, and so it's going to, you know, cause you, they're competing for the same relationship.
Right. It's that competition aspect of it. I get it. So can we drill down a little bit here? Because in the background, I saw, you know, collaborative banking takes the spirit of open banking, but it mitigates the risk and the pitfall. So can you expand on that a little bit just for folks out there who are pondering this right now?
Yeah. That's, you know, because with open banking, they're working to give the end user control of their data. So you want the member to be able to take their data and use it to make their lives better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a budgeting app. That's an investment app. That's a debt pay down app. That's all kinds of great experiences. But the problem with that is when you're working to get that, data shared, there's a lot of regulatory and compliance risks. And so the fintechs now, to be able to offer the service that they're providing, many times are offering credit cards, checking accounts, and loans. Like if you want to use Chime, for example, you've got to switch your accounts over to Chime. So you can't get a Chime-like experience with your current credit union that you're at right now.
Indeed. And so, yeah, let's get the credit union connection here and talk about how it benefits a credit union.
Yeah, so the credit union wants to work with fintech. They're looking for ways to engage their members, give them better access to technology. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that it takes a very long time to get those fintech solutions because of the third-party vendor due diligence. So they have to worry about security, compliance, SOC 2, what data are they sharing, the privacy and regulatory risks there. And then they have to go to their core processor and figure out integration and how to work together with the core. It's all expensive and it's all time consuming.
Yeah.
So for a lot of fintechs that want to bring their app to market in partnership with a credit union, it might take them, you know, a year, maybe even longer to go to market.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It costs a lot of money. You know, just to integrate with the core, they might charge you $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 just for one app to plug in. And so the institution is looking, oh man, is anyone going to use this app?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What if something better comes out next month? Or, you know, what if nobody likes it? So there's this huge risk of innovation. And so they try and find apps that benefit all of their members. But the problem is we're all different and we all have different needs. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to like and engage with is probably going to be different than, you know, even your family, you know, the apps they might engage with.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, you know, for myself, I might want an app today and I might want a different app tomorrow.
Right.
Or maybe I have five different apps I want to use. Yeah. So how do you meet all those needs for your members? Because right now the choice is they can either use the app they have through their credit union, or they can go download something off of the Apple App Store.
Right, right.
And all of those apps are selling credit cards and loans that compete with the credit union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a year in the fintech world is like a century. So, I mean, yeah. a lot can happen in just a week in this area for sure. So,
yeah,
so you true. Say, and in the press release, you also say that the reasoning behind this movement is very noble, but it has had many issues in execution. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I think it's noble in that the purpose of open banking is to put the end user in control of their data. Sure. So they have the ability to use it to make their lives better. But in execution, it's not always working in the end user's best interest, because if the member, let's say they have mortgages and maybe they have some rental properties with their credit union, and then they're trying to use an app to manage all of that. Well, they go download the app, mm-hmm. and if it's a fintech that's or a technology company that's competing with the credit union, they're going to have their own accounts and loans and cards to manage that digital bank, or even banking as a service, yeah. that fintech or app is now using an account from a sponsor institution to get access to offer credit cards and loans mm-hmm. and accounts to the end user. So now you have to, you've got all your loans over here already, you're set up, everything's working, and then you want to use this technology, but you have to open up and run your credit and open accounts and loans over here.
Yeah.
And so it's not seamless. It doesn't work together mm-hmm. in a way that's seamless for the end user. So we want to give the end user the ability to have their credit union of choice and have the newest and best tech with new solutions coming out all the time.
That segues right into my next question here, Landon. So what does it take to be successful at collaborative banking, and how do you guys play a role in that?
Yeah. So the framework is really the key here. So right now, if you're using technology on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, and it's powered by a competing institution, you have to make that tough choice. So we wanted to build a world where the end user is in control. So if the member has a membership at, mm-hmm. Community Credit Union, and they want to use an app for paying down debt, they have the ability to power their Community Credit Union account seamlessly with that partner app.
Okay.
So we have the infrastructure that powers that.
Got it.
So we integrate with the core, and we create a safe environment for the end user to be in control of their data.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing for the credit unions and the members, for sure. All right. And I'm going to ask you the most obvious question here. I think we both know the answer, but I want to get your take on it. So what's the significance of this issue right now, or this model or the collaborative banking? Why is it so significant?
Well, we were talking to a credit union in Florida recently, and he said this is the biggest problem that our industry is facing right now. And it's also the biggest opportunity. Hmm. And so, looking at that, having affinity-based solutions, and credit unions understand this well because they were founded based on affinity groups, whether it's where you live, work, or worship, you have your field of membership of people with similar interests. Yes. And fintechs are redefining that affinity relationship mm-hmm. into something that has no geographic bounds. So they can build an app for Latinos, or they can build an app for African Americans or LGBTQ, or they can build an app for young professionals or people starting a business, mm-hmm. and they can market and get, that might be something that is very valuable for 5% or whatever the number is of members at a credit union. And now, what ACE is doing is we're taking that affinity-based solution and allowing the geographical-based credit unions to be able to leverage that technology to better meet the needs of the segments within their membership. Mm-hmm. So now it's not a choice of staying with the credit union or leaving to some other third-party
right.
app.
Yeah, which is what credit unions are fearful of these days, for sure. So that's a trend that we've got to stop. So, gosh, this is such a very topical timely topic right now. So, I mean, anything else here to add to wrap up here, Landon? Because I know this is something that's, like you said, you talked to that credit union and said, yeah, it's a big problem, but it's also a big opportunity as well. So how do we get folks to act on this?
Yeah, no, it's happening. And we've announced our product pretty recently.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're helping them, a lot of people, this might be their first time hearing about it. And so brand new solution, we've been working on it for a long time, but really the core of it is just unlocking scale mm-hmm. and opportunity. You look at the Apple App Store and you say, man, there's so many great tools that you can get for your phone. There's millions of apps.
Yeah.
Why can't I get really great tools easily from my credit union? You know, if I want to use an app for investing or budgeting or paying down debt, or, you know, imagine an app for a kid when they turn 18 to be able to build credit, and it teaches them how to manage that account. And, you know, you know, if they don't pay the credit card off, it'll ACH their mom for the $80 or whatever. And then they can't use their card until they've repaid mom.
I like that.
And so that becomes a model that, I mean, normally it's 8 years if you mess up your credit to get out of that mess. And so it's financial empowerment, it's opportunity, it's collaboration, and it's building a world where you can get the tech you need to live a better life seamlessly. And so that scalability is ultimately what we're solving for, and making it so that anyone with an idea can build really incredible tech, and they can bring that to their local credit union. So some of our early partners are looking at ways to create innovation hubs and leverage their membership base, and they can actually participate in the economy by building apps that can be used at their own credit union and at every other credit union. So it's ultimately saying, hey, we want to put you in control of your data so that you can use it for your benefit in a way that's completely safe. You're not sharing usernames, passwords, account numbers. It's all tokenized. It's all anonymized. And instead of the fintechs offering, you know, becoming a bank by selling loans and accounts and products, then you use the bank for that. So the bank sits on their end. They offer all the loans, or sorry, the credit union sits on their end, and they're offering their accounts and loans. And then on the other end, we've got the fintech that's providing the front end user experience. So you as the end user can choose any technology in combination with any credit union that you want to work with.
Empowering the member, empowering the consumer is what it's all about today. And you guys are right there on the forefront. So thank you for all these efforts. Where can we find out? Can we go to your website and find out more information on this, or where can we go to check out more?
Yeah, yeah. Our website is asa.financial.
Okay.
So asa.financial. It's not a .com. And then we're also working on a couple other websites, and then on LinkedIn as well. Check us out, ASA Technologies.
Okay, good deal. Well, we'll put that link in the show notes so people can get right to it and find out some more information, and have them give you a call if they have any questions. So yeah, good stuff, Landon. All right, Landon. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. You probably got a lot on your plate, so I don't want to keep you from it. But thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it today.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Mike.
Anytime.